You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Boardwalk Empire After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Boardwalk Empire After Show.
Hello, hello. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another AfterBuzz TV podcast. And this week we are going to be covering Boardwalk Empire, episode called, I'm going to butcher this title, guys, but Earl Cunning, it's German. I'm taking it to mean Elf King.
Are you Jewish?
No. Does I sound Jewish?
Yeah.
Does I come across Jewish? I could pretend.
It's just scary to pronounce those things.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say, I'm sorry. I don't...
Earl Cunning.
Is that how you say it?
Earl Cunning. It's Cunning.
Earl Cunning.
You're right, though. I don't know if it's elf, but it is king.
There we go. Well, we got a little bit of a reference to it in this episode. I'm going to warn you guys before I introduce us that I might be really just melodramatic this entire podcast because I was just so sad and blue in the face. But turn it over to you guys. I'm joined by two lovely hosts.
Hi, I'm Bethany Jaber.
Hey, and I'm Kristen Carney.
Yay, thanks, guys. So that's probably the happiest I'm going to sound throughout this entire podcast.
No, I agree with you.
It was very grim.
It was incredibly depressing. Kristen was saying after the end of the episode, you were like, I just need a little bit of lightheartedness, something.
Yeah, a little bit of not even levity. I think just of sensitivity. I was trying to think back to episodes previous to the season and if we got any of that. And I don't know if we explicitly did, but it seemed a little bit not lighter, but it was like it just was easier to digest. And I think it's just getting hammered down on how dark and I mean, I like dark and grim. That's why I enjoy the show. But this is even for me, I'm feeling like, God, I don't know if I can get through another scene.
This is depressing. Yeah. It's like visually this episode was very blue, just color wise.
Right.
But it was really impacting my feelings. I was just like, oh, dragging on.
Yeah. No, I don't think there was any hope, like not even a glimmer of hope this entire episode.
That's what we're missing.
We open up with two birds. That's not even, is that a word? Two birds in a cage.
A dirge is a word. A dirge kind of represented this episode as well. So.
Yeah, the birds in the cage were, just by the beginning, just seeing them in the cage, they were hitting the bars, trying like desperately to fly out. And so you kind of just knew the turmoil that was ahead.
And I think, you know, as the audience, we felt trapped by mostly interiors. And if you even notice, like, the paneling on the walls was all like a metallic paneling. I mean, it was painted, but you definitely...
We were caged in.
Yeah,
we were caged into this environment.
And felt it and unhappy with it.
So I have some more info on the title.
Oh, please. And
it's, we know what it is. Sorry,
a little
sorry
bit
to
about
act like a bragger.
It.
Oh, you know?
Yeah.
But I want to hear what you have to say. Do you have
just
any?
Says it's a poem by Wolfgang von Goethe.
Yeah.
It's the death of a child assailed by a supernatural being.
Yeah. In the minute that I saw that definition at the beginning of the episode when we looked up the name of the title, I just knew it was coming for Eddie. I just knew.
You did.
Yeah.
You called that right away.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. I want to kind of end on that today. But as much as I did expect it after you said it, totally in an unforeseen way.
Right.
And it was surprised. And before we dive into a little bit of like the nitpicking of the plot, where do you think that we can find this hope we're looking for? Like, are we going to have to get new characters? Is there going to have to be like new plots, new ventures? Like, how are we going to find this happiness or some sort of...
You know what? The glimmer, like the one little tiny sparkle, was maybe with Roy. When Jillian,
I
think he says to her, I know about weakness and I know about sin. Maybe that was like, oh, I can, and she says, I've done some awful, some really terrible things.
I'm just afraid that he doesn't know what these things are. And once he finds out, he'll run for the hills.
By the way, I've been a prostitute and a madam my entire life.
I've killed.
My whole family's like dead.
Slept with my son. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Goodness. Okay. So,
I love how that was the glimmer.
It was, though.
But that's how dark it's getting.
Yeah, and that's awful. So
that's the only answer that we have for you.
Yeah. And like the thing that I've been holding on to, and I know we'll get to Eddie, but I guess me speaking of trying to get to some sort of love in the episode is like Eddie is that character that's lovable. He's like a dog, a puppy, and now he's gone. And so it's like, who do you love? Who are we rooting for? Who is in our heart? Like, who do we have a sensitive spot for?
I mean, we don't. We really don't at this point. And I mean, that's so sad. But I think we should start with the Capones and with George Mueller, Sacha Van Alden, because although they weren't a happy part of the episode, there was some brotherly love, and at least there was a lot of action that at least got my pulse racing for a little bit of this episode instead of
it
like
brought you back from death.
Exactly.
From being dead.
Exactly. So why don't we talk a little bit about them? We open with, let's see, how do we start?
George is feeding the baby, and he's George now. He's not Van Alden anymore, but he is he's very much a different man. And he's feeding the baby, and he says he doesn't want to eat. And the wife gives such a lovely response. She goes, he doesn't know what he wants.
She's my glimmer of hope, I think.
Yeah.
I think that his wife in this episode was one of the only things that made me kind of happy. Because she wears the pants in this relationship in a way. She's still a little bit clueless, but she determines, and even the Capones call back to that. Yeah. They say, go ask your wife, go ask this.
Right. And she's certainly clueless on it because when she waved goodbye in the window, she was smiling and holding the baby like she was sending him off to his corporate job, you know, in 1992. You know, she had no idea, I mean, of what he was going into.
No,
I mean, maybe.
For sure.
I
think that what she had to say of even though she was talking about the baby, it was, I thought George empathized with that because he doesn't really know what he wants. He's torn between horrible boss and horrible boss. Like, which option do I want to go with?
And I'm always wondering about him if he's still torn with the Bible and trying to be this holier than thou. Obviously he's not, but if that's ever in the back of his head, that's something I'm missing from Van Alden. You know, I mean, in the first season we saw him whipping himself for having impure thoughts. And I kind of want to see that again from him. He doesn't seem to have any of that.
I think that
conscience
the
anymore.
The most that we see from him in that aspect is he still is very honest with when he's like answering questions or like, He just won't answer unless they're direct. He doesn't let his thoughts go too far outside the box. No. I felt like the most we saw him do some free thinking was when we saw him point the gun at the back of Al Capone's head today.
Right.
Because I feel like he's been bounced around in all these situations and he's taken on this new identity and this new fatherhood, but none of it has really been under his control lately. It's all about getting the wife this new home, being forced in these situations, being pulled back and forth by these bosses.
And he's got his house right now held up by these construction things, which I don't know the names of because I know nothing about
I think he built the Rosetta model. I think that's what I wrote down.
But it's this very unstable-looking foundation right now, which is him.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And he's not really successful or thriving in any of it, not as a husband or a father or as an employee. He's just really kind of average at it all.
But he is gaining. He's gaining from where he came. Like now we do see him at least with a house that's his.
This is true.
He does get the wad of money.
She mentioned. Have we seen that? Because I know she wanted to go out and go shopping.
Table. That's about all I noticed.
I'm waiting to see the furniture.
With her lovely home.
We're girls here.
Yeah, I want to see the decor. I can't lie.
In such a manly show. The girls are like, wait, we want to talk about
the set design is amazing.
Here.
I'd love to see what they do with their home.
Yes, exactly. And just moving forward. So we have all these Capones, and I really liked the dynamic they set up of the Capone brothers throughout this episode. And although we did have to cut two major deaths today, I guess, but although we lost Frank, how they tied in the other brother, Ralph, I thought was done really nicely. And although I'm going to miss Frank, and I think like the head, I felt like he was
the brains mm-hmm. of the operation, at least the logic, the thinking, the smart thinking, because he's not driven by cocaine and rage as much as Al, you know.
And there's a key line where he says that all Al Capone needs is a kick in the pants. And the response we get from George Mueller is, but who's going to do the kicking?
Right.
And you automatically assume that, you know, Frank's always going to be there.
Yeah.
And now we're left with this question. I want to say that was one of his last lines. I mean, he got a few more right before they went into this full beast mob mode.
Yeah.
But that's what we're going to miss. Who's going to be that force? Is Mueller going to be able to step up and take charge and gain any trust?
No, I mean, this is the unleashing of Al Capone. You know, Frank seemed to be the only one who was able to do any sort of rational conversation mm-hmm. with Al. And now that Frank's gone, Al has a deep, deep, deep vengeance, obviously, against anyone who killed his brother. But I think this is where the classic Al Capone, as if Kevin were here, would say they go from Muppet Babies to, like, the Muppets. You know, this is, I think, mm-hmm. when he's going to really explode and become Al Capone, who was infamous.
I was really hoping that in that moment where George and Al are sitting by Frank's body, that Al was going to turn around and say, take some responsibility.
and his
growth was going to be like, I screwed up. This is my fault. Now it's my chance to grow. But
No.
I was actually quite surprised that he's growing in the other direction of everybody else, of the blame game.
Yeah, no, he is.
Not taking any accountability here.
No.
Do you place the full blame of Frank's death on Al Capone?
Absolutely. 100%, because Frank was saying, let's just chill out, we should wait, and Al is just, you know, the muscle on the hothead, and he loses it, and because of that, he loses his brother. This being the kick in the pants, the loss of the brother, does nothing for him. It does not change who he is. So
no.
It will
further grow the beast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is not going to take it in and digest it and wake up in the morning and be like, you know, I really feel like reflecting on my past.
Okay. I mean, I do think how it turned out, the blame does get put on Al because he's the one who kind of sets the fighting in motion. But when he was making that speech to call people out and he says, one person step forward, I thought that was actually kind of a smart tactic because Ooh. Their whole goal was to keep them behind the gates. And when I'm watching it, and obviously I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be like the gladiator step up. It's going to be him and Alan. We're going to see two people. And because he sacrifices himself for a little bit of punch time, then all the reinforcements are going to come. So, like, theoretically, I thought maybe this is a smart idea. Of course, since the reinforcements don't come up and we get a bunch of secret agent detective cops who knows where these guys are from?
Oh, these are Hoover's people, right? It's Special Forces.
It's from Chicago.
That's what I'm guessing. I'm taking a wild guess.
Well, they said, I think they were guessing as well in the episode, but they said, you know, they're from Chicago because of Cicero. Police can't be trusted.
Exactly.
But before I forget, I want to say this. I loved the scene, or I loved in that scene where the guy said, who are these guys? And Al Capone was like so upset that they didn't know who he was. It was just so consistent with the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know who I am and I can get my name right? You better recognize.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
his claim to Cicero.
Yeah.
He is the top. He has to gain. But it was very interesting. There was little subtleties. Like, he was claiming that they own the city legally. They basically already won the election. And then we have all these cops showing up that they really knew nothing about. And it's like, finally, the Capones are being pulled into this circle that we've always seen behind closed doors, like with Knox, with the Secret Service. Like, we've seen them as a boardroom, but we haven't had much interaction of them together, of those two forces colliding.
I'm still really curious about what the voting process was like. And I mean, this was the only exterior that we had today. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the other episodes are the interior. So I'm guessing this is like outside of the birdcage is the mess and the craziness. But I was kind of, I'm like, so where do they vote? Like, these guys are going to vote, but where,
right.
You know, when we saw the big Western Electric sign, but I don't know. There was part of me that was like, really? Beating them is going to get them to vote Republican? That's going to do it?
Intimidation. I mean, people don't want trouble.
I don't know. So I guess it just, then you just don't show up to the polls and then you just don't vote.
I mean, it's so third world.
Is that it?
You know, I mean.
I think it's just the point that, like, you scare people into enough to join your side. It's like there is, they don't know what's going on politically. They have no, they work in their factories. They're all shut off. And as long as you kind of tell them what to do, it's like herding sheep.
Okay.
Like we see Don Pernsley talk to Jillian as Ms. Bo Peep. But really, this is the herding of the sheep in the episode. It's like force them this way, bite them at the heels.
Mm-hmm. Intimidate.
Yeah. I mean, and the whole flock will go.
It sounds very third world, like what goes on in, you know, parts of the world that I can't even digest. I don't understand how that could happen, that people could be intimidated and voting and killed for voting in certain ways, and it happened. So it's crazy to think that that could happen in the United States, you know.
I guess it does with like licenses and voter registration and like needing your license to show up.
Right, yeah, it does. It's happening subtly here, yeah.
Surprise!
Right.
Do you remember this? Yeah. All this? Okay, well, do we have any final thoughts about Capone?
Just seeing Capone crawling on his knees, you know, and as a weak one was very, very not moving. I don't think that'd be the right word, but it was nice to see him in a position of meager.
There was a little bit.
Help.
There was a sliver of justice put in there that he was also beaten up a little bit.
Even though I like, you know, I love the Capone character in the show, but seeing him down a little bit did feel good.
What about with a gun pointed at the back of his head? How'd you guys feel about that? About Van Alden kind of.
I'm a wimp. I left the room, I'll be honest. I was like, Frank can't die. It can't happen.
I'm sorry.
The first thought that went through my head was that, well, it's not consistent with history. So I didn't think it was going to happen. But I liked the imagery.
I mean, I liked the imagery, and I liked that you got that second of doubt that Frank knew and the tables were going to be turned on George and that he was going to be kind of pointed out. But I was a little confused where exactly this motivation was coming from. I mean, we've seen
It was a little
unexpected. Be very aggressive towards him and kind of treat him like dirt and not respect his boundaries. But we saw O'Banion do that as well, and I've never really felt that level of vengeance was under George's skin.
I thought
it was like an annoyance of like, why am I doing this?
Right. This guy always such a, you know, he's obnoxious. But I also didn't get that feeling from George.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I want him to have a conversation with someone so I can understand more of what he thinks.
Exactly.
Who's he going to talk to?
But that's the beauty. That's the beauty of the character,
right?
Is that he's explosive. He's volatile. You don't see anything. Anything for a long time, and then all of a sudden he snaps like a crazy person. He's a bit of a monster. Absolutely.
He needs a friend too, so I can understand his thought process. There's a couple characters in here who I'm like, I never know what you're thinking because you have no one to talk to.
Right.
And so that's what we're really missing with him.
Which brings us to like a really major theme here, which is who is your friend? Mm-hmm. You know, Nucky goes on to have a very long monologue about who your friend is in friendship and friend. I can't speak today. I'm like friendship.
We're just sad. There's a lot of weight in this episode.
And then there's, you know, and then with Eddie and Will, there's the whole friendship theme and loyalty. And so, I guess George really has no friends.
But George needs it that way. George with friends would be no George. It would no longer be George.
Yeah, well said.
That's
how
I feel about myself. Like me with friends, I'm like, no, there's something wrong.
No.
So I get, no.
No.
But he needs to be solitary.
I want the characters I like to have friends. I want him to have friends. I want Richard Howard to have friends.
The way that the way we saw him communicate before he turned into George was Van Alden alone in a room beating himself up. So you knew his thoughts then because he had this deep, deep, deep guilt. Now he's not experiencing that or we're not seeing that. So we're not able to get that communication from him because he's no longer, you know, whipping himself.
Exactly. We don't get that outlet. Well, speaking of friendish, Jillian's getting a new friend with Roy in her like and his like step up to kind of take on her challenges and all the mess she has.
I had assumed at the beginning of the episode and really in the middle of it that she was abandoned by Roy. Did you think that,
as well?
With the phone call? Are you referring to the phone call?
And then when she later on, she's talking about him, I'm like, well, I don't see him anywhere around, so this isn't really working out for you. Are you just going through such withdrawals that you're delusional? I mean, it's not the first time she's been delusional.
Well, we saw them together with her in the restaurant being approached by the boy.
And the melting ice cream.
Right.
And him kind of, there's a hint
putting
there
pieces
that he
together.
Knew. Exactly.
So I thought, I definitely thought he wasn't going to be around anymore just from that. I mean, I thought I would see him again, but yeah, I thought he was making himself distant from her.
I mean, I have mixed feelings about him coming back and kind of trying to be her, like, knight in shining armor and being... It's one thing that he's very willing, and you have to kind of praise him for that. Like, you don't know this woman. She's done, like, one favor for you, and you're going to kind of accept her for all she is. But on the other hand, Jillian kind of drives me crazy. Like, I loved her performance in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I really believed it. I was scared for her, scared of her. Wonderful. But over the seasons, she's just like continuously falling and falling and falling.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fallen so much that I almost don't want her to be picked back up.
Yeah.
I've kind of given up on her, given up hope on her. And besides the great acting performance, I don't care that much about her.
Yeah. She doesn't have any redeeming qualities to get inside your heart ever.
No, and she's kind of taken over. I mean, usually Margaret is the damsel in distress, and since hasn't been with us at the beginning of the season thus far, she's kind of taken over the role of damsel in distress. And women, you know, men respond to that, I'm guessing. Maybe our viewers can let us know. I'm making like a huge assumption here.
You guys, but we want to know what your thoughts are on Jillian specifically.
Do you respond to damsel in distress? Because none of us do. And rightfully so. It's not something that is strong or flattering, mm-hmm. or, you know, she's a junkie who is really losing it. So yeah,
and
it's not appealing.
And it's like every word she says, almost, it just feels so false. Like all this episode mm-hmm. was seemingly about Tommy,
mm-hmm.
and she obviously is quite forward with the judge to try and get her way,
which is amazing.
Yes. And then it's like, then the next person she approaches is Dunn Pernsley, who goes by Mr. Oxford now, which is a whole nother thing, I guess, we'll talk about. But I expected that to be another step to try and get Tommy back. And instead it was like, it's not even about that. It's about drugs again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the classic addict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're selfish and nothing you do is ever for anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like she's just constantly saying, this is all about Tommy, this is all about Tommy. But her actions are drugs and craziness. But I felt like you were about to say something about Mr. Oxford, Dunn Pernsley,
he was just taking on like a Oxford. I mean, not Oxford University, just mm-hmm. trying to take on a like something that was maybe a title above himself or something.
Dr. Narcisse gave him that name. To make him more of a respected.
I thought he was like pulling it up from his
drug dealer
or something. I thought he was like looking at his shoes.
Oh, maybe.
Like, Mr. Oxford.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe that's it.
But I do think that is telling that he is getting high enough up that his name is being, or where his whereabouts are being spread on the streets.
And he's clearly making enough money to go into the shop and have a shoe shined and, you
sitting
know.
Sitting on his and throne.
Yeah.
Right. So there is another King reference from the title to him sitting in that mm-hmm. throne. And
but is this power coming from, do you think this is all coming from Dr. Narcisse, or do you still think that this crowd is coming from Chalky?
I think it's coming from Dr. Narcisse. I think mm-hmm. Chalky is going to rise, or I'm sorry,
Dunn Pernsley,
Mr. Oxford is going to rise up and going to be completely at odds with Chalky and go head to head or something eventually.
New enemies.
Yeah,
friends.
Unfortunately.
Gosh, people are getting more and more names in this show. As the seasons go on, just like,
it's like
add
if there aren't
on identity.
Let's change our identity. Right.
Yeah, I mean, they're changing with the times, I suppose. I don't know.
And that's what I think is really unique about the show is that there's not just that one storyline that we're following. It's this change of everyone's lives, or I don't know. God, I hate when I try to say something meaningful.
You're onto it. They're evolving. They're having a
transformation evolving. Very good words.
No, but you're leading us there.
But we're seeing it individually with each character. It's not for one greater thing. It's everyone's own personal life, and I think that's cool. You don't see that in a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. You have Breaking Bad. You have Walter White's story, and then everyone else around him. This is like everyone's
personal
story.
Don't just Breaking Bad. We could end up getting crucified.
Breaking Bad, and I love Walt's story.
I know what you're talking about.
You know, you get one show, one character in Breaking Bad, which, again, Breaking Bad's amazing. But in this, you get one show, five, six, seven different character lines you're following.
It's just structurally different. Different. Yeah.
And then how do you guys feel about them intersecting Mr. Piggly Wiggly, Jillian, and now Dr. Narcisse and Dunn Pernsley? Do you think those worlds are going to mesh well together? Or do you think that's going to be the end of it?
I think they could mesh well in the sense that would be interesting television. But yeah, I don't think it would mesh well and become a happy union.
I was just really happy with what happened with Roy today, because he was really one dimensional, and I think Ron Livingston is just an amazing actor and he's so fabulous. So I just was so happy
for the Carrie Bradshaw references in the show. No. Like, I would love for them to throw down like a hair scrunchie reference. Do you know? Does anyone out there know?
No, I saw him at my local food store, and he's friends with my writing teacher, and I looked at him, and he had that feeling of, because I'm right in the Sex and the City age range, he definitely had that look of like, oh please,
she
not a Sex and of the City reference. And I was just like, oh hey, you're
Four
friends
o'clock.
With my writing teacher. I just, you know, and we just started talking, and I felt like he was relieved, like, thank you God you're not making a Sex and the City reference. And then we talked about gluten, and he was so sweet, and like he gave me
a Samantha reference, but anyway,
no.
he
was just the kindest, most loving individual, and was really helpful. But yeah,
so I
think the poor guy must get a million Sex and the City references everywhere he goes.
Well, he's transforming into Mr. Ron. Roy.
No,
it was
good.
A digression.
No, that's wonderful, and I think that the fact that we like, it's great when you love an actor as a person and when you want to see them expand in these other roles.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is getting this opportunity here and then we are going to see him grow in Boardwalk Empire is great.
So great.
So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
I kind of wish he was invested in a different character other than Jillian, because I feel like his hopes are going to get crushed.
Well, yeah. They probably will, but
he could make a transformation into, a badass.
Bring him down to her level?
A little bit, maybe.
That would be nice.
Who knows?
I mean, prediction. He was loving her at dinner being this character that she was playing. She took it a little overboard. And might get on board with this role playing or something. I don't know.
I like where you're going.
They could team up and, you know.
Okay, well, let's move over to College Town. Another person in cages with Willie. Got himself into a quite a bad situation. I was surprised that they had him, like, in the very beginning calling from what seems
jail.
Basically a prison cell, you know?
Yeah.
I was expecting him to, you know, be held up in his room, like, curled up in the corner on his bed, like, calling Uncle Nucky. But this is his one phone call,
They did a great job of not revealing it for a while, because they kept that part of the phone section in black, and then they visually went to where Eddie was. And so I was still like, until the next scene came about with him, I'm like, where is he? What happened to Will? Come on.
Yeah, that was
give
interesting.
Give me the story. Is he caught? Is he going
Is he okay? I need to know.
I mean.
But he's not okay.
And he's going to Nucky for advice. And going, skipping a little bit, and Nucky's main advice is, you know, you stick with blood. But he already isn't sticking with blood. He's sticking with his uncle, but they're completely cutting out the rest of their family. Like, it is not telling his
dad.
So right. He's not telling his mom. And Nucky's putting this, not front, but he's giving this idea, like, you know what?
Well,
it's all about the blood. But it's only about
blood,
too. But
if he tells Nucky, if he tells Eli, his father, he might see blood. You know, like, you just want to kind of go
That's
through this
true.
as quietly as possible, and I understand why he's the cool uncle that you can call on when you're in a tight spot, and I think that's going to create a bond between Willie and him for future business. and might push Eli out.
That's what, yeah, and I think that's definitely what we're seeing is he's making another link, but there are no way of reaching out, and I think that's going to actually cause hostility in the future.
Right.
More about their plot, their ploy, how they go about, seems like putting Clayton up for the blame here, but just about their relationship of how did you guys think Nucky handled getting the truth out of Willie and getting the truth out of this situation? Do you think
it's a good question?
I thought it was skilled. You know, Nucky's been in the situation or dealt with things like this before, so he knew what questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised, though, at the beginning of the questioning of Nucky going along with him and believing him and not believing there was more to the story. So I thought Nucky was a little naive.
I think that that comes from just the belief of youth. Like he does.
Yeah.
Nucky doesn't really deal with too many youths in the show. He deals with the very little kids of like Margaret, and he doesn't really put too much thought to them when one of them's like setting fires everywhere. And then the other one, we see him kill the only other young entrepreneur he's ever met.
Yeah.
So the last, because I feel like Willie is actually very similar to the character who is kind of stealing all of their liquor and hoarding it in that room. And you think that Willie's going to let him in. You think, you think Nucky's going to let him in and kind of take him under his wing and let him run his part of the business. And then he ends up shooting him.
Yeah.
And now we're getting.
He's a beautiful character. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but
wonderful. He was great. I loved that character. I think he lasted one episode and I could still talk about him. But now he's taking Willie. And he is bringing him under his wing, but he's still navigating how to deal with someone so young and where to put them and what value to put on them besides what they're going to be when they graduate. Because he's still only valuable to Nucky when he graduates. He doesn't seem to be valuable to Nucky now. And so.
But they need the title. They need the respectability of a college degree and we're an educated family. So I don't think until then it would look good for Nucky to be investing so much in a non-college graduate young man.
I don't know if that's, I mean, I guess it's just my opinion that I just don't think that's smart because I'm like, they could make business. If Nucky did trust in Willie and really brought him into the ring right now, he could be making a fortune out of this college opportunity.
Like, he definitely could.
You mean he's like going to be like covering all the college campuses in the company in the country, like distributing liquor? I love that you're going the capitalist route with this. You're like, really? Let's just hit all the colleges.
It's a great
idea. The heck with bars and
but
and
it's
clubs.
A great marketing strategy.
It is, but if you think about it, because like right now, like alcohol is legal, it would be a great marketing strategy now. But because back then. Liquor was illegal for everyone, so everywhere is a market, except church.
I mean, yes, that's true.
I think Willie doesn't have the life experience. He can't, he already screwed up his relationship with Mickey Doyle.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't know how to have, he doesn't have tact yet. You know,
true.
He's got to learn. So if he's in these situations without the ability to handle these things, he could just make a huge mess for Nucky.
Speaking of Mickey Doyle, he got brought up again this episode. Do we have any ideas about what's going to happen to him?
I don't even know.
I almost, because I like Mickey in a sense, because he's just such a snaky, I like his character. Of course, I don't like him. I wouldn't want to be friends with him in the real world. But I love the actor and I love the way he's done. I would like to see him have it out with Willie because he did Willie a favor. He told Willie, you can't have that alcohol. And then he kind of said, you know what? All right, take it. And you knew he gave it to him hesitantly. He didn't. And so now Mickey's put in this shitty situation. And I would like to at least have words with Willie and to show Willie that he's still a naive little punk kid. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want Willie to get too high on his horse yet.
Too big up there. I mean.
And Mickey can't be pushed around by a college kid. I mean, Mickey's already the bottom of the barrel anyway, especially brain-wise. I don't want him to be on the bottom of the barrel below it. College kid.
That's very true. I mean, I think it'll be interesting because the one person that we are living on is Eli, and we have Eli and Mickey's relationship. And the last time we saw Mickey, he wasn't going to tell Nucky about the booze or whatnot. Now Nucky knows about the booze, and he's telling him, we're not going to tell Eli about your situation. Mm-hmm. But what we see from all these is everyone finds out everything. And right. then you think you're going to hide yeah. it from the next person. And that person brings just an endless pile of yeah. mess. But yeah, mm-hmm. they're being bad capitalists. Go to colleges, sell some booze. It'll work out great. But we do maybe get a new love interest. Maybe another glimmer of hope. There was a hug.
All for a girl.
Yeah, but she's not worth it because she liked Henry. You know, she was into Henry, and now she's running to the next boy, the next best thing. I don't like her.
Yeah, true.
She's a new Jillian.
Is that really
no,
that
I
bad?
Mean, I don't think. No, she's not that bad. Of course, she's not that bad. No,
not many people can be that bad.
No.
Okay, well, let's talk about a little bit. Oh, we're going to go on to Eddie. It breaks my heart.
I know.
It just breaks my heart.
So
he deserves an Emmy, the actor who plays Eddie. I mean, his performance, yeah. I mean, throughout the series has been wonderful, but especially this episode, it was just, he was out of control. So hopefully that will happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be an Emmy nomination for him.
I mean, I thought the performance was great. I'm going to get sad here. Eddie has always been one of my favorite characters.
Right.
He's always just been so
happy stability.
And wonderful, and you really do believe that he is like your loyal friend, dog, mm-hmm.
Man's best friend type.
What really got this episode for me, like under my skin, was not only that he's gone, but that they completely like broke him. Like they broke his character, they broke everything
they
I
broke
loved about him.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was even more than like that. You could see like Eddie as a character falling apart, like emotionally, mm-hmm. ratting on Nucky. But then they took like the things that I loved most about Eddie and like stomped on them.
Right.
Like they're like
his honor, his loyalty,
yes.
his sense of
like pride,
yeah.
everything, and like
joy in the simple things, in the simplicity of service.
Yeah. It's like he represented such an ideal. He represented mm-hmm. such an ideal of this man who had a family in Germany and came here like in my mind to like work hard and to be the best man he could be to Nucky. And then they just took it and made him rattle Nucky. Giant, big, black spot. And then destroy his family at home. Destroy why he came over here. And that was painful. Like, that was just...
There's a moment where the wind blows in. Do you remember that? It's at the mm-hmm. very last scene in the interrogation.
The
yeah.
papers
and I was really hoping they would just cut right there. And just leave us with the idea that he told and not what he told. But no.
No.
No, they had to take it further.
Yeah.
and then when he gives over the information, it just breaks your heart. Because,
exactly.
But the thing is I was even okay finding out the information about his past in Germany because, you know, he lived for loyalty and honor and then kind of screwed up, left with a lingerie model mm-hmm. and took a lot of money and realized that that was not the right path. And so went back to loyalty. And so I was like, I could live with that almost. But then when he finally gave up the name,
it was like, you know, it's okay. You made amends by doing these great things. And then you knocked yourself right back down. It was heartbreaking.
I mean, we can't live with it. He can't live with it. Clearly. Sadly.
Yeah. I'm speaking from obviously a position of not being the writer. But I just wish that he had he could hold on a little longer. And I know that was the best thing to write into the storyline, but I just wish that he could have been steadfast in knowing that he did turn life around and that they couldn't get into his head. You know, he knows that he's in this world of criminals and police and that this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to break you. And I wish that he just had that foresight to say, I know what they're doing and I'm going to be above it. But I know it's harder said than done. Yeah.
And like the only thing I'm clinging to right now is that letter we saw him write that seemed to be in German, seemed to be beautiful. And I'm like, something in there. Something that, like, I was lying.
Are you going to, like, freeze frame it tonight and just, like, go with your Google Translate?
But because it was in German. Because it was in German, though, it's like, you know he's not speaking to Nucky. So we're not going to really get that closure. Unless, of course, you know, people default to their, you know, native tongue when they're in a stressful situation. But I wish that it was something to Nucky. But
cleansing the slate. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Don't give me the bad
news. I know, we're
all
so bummed out. Yeah. And one of the most beautiful lines that he had when he was being interrogated were, you are my friend? And then he, of course, I believe Knox hits him or punches him. Who are you?
Exactly.
Right.
No, we've got a lot. There was a lot of, obviously, we've mentioned birds in this episode. Lots of Cajun. And it was like everyone was either in jail or standing trial for their actions.
In so many interiors, like 95% interiors. This episode. I mean, there are a lot of interiors in this in general.
The only shots that really we got of the outside were, I'm sorry, of the ocean's sky and birds flying through it and some wind. That was really the only feeling we got of anything outside. Yes. The papers,
besides
like
the
papers lifting up and letting in some air. This I'm kind of jumping back just because I don't want to forget.
No, of course.
About Capone. I just wanted to mention this. They called him Garibaldi.
Yeah.
And he's he was a Italian general and politician, and he was known as like one of the fathers of Italy. And he had, I believe, from what I was like reading a little bit, he had a positive connotation to his name or his history. So I was surprised. I thought it would be more of a
negative
term, like a Hitler of Italy, but.
It's, I know when you're talking about, and they also called him, I think right before that, like, Your Highness or His Highness. And it's like, they are putting him on this level. They are giving him this power.
Right.
So it is interesting. You would think that, I mean, I think some of it's said in sarcasm sometimes, like, get this pompous guy out there, you know?
But it's surprising because that they use that general because he was known for, basically, I'm sorry, I'm looking down at some, at my notes, but for unifying Italy, like unifying its people. That's so not Capone, but maybe he'll be unifying Van Alden together with him. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm curious.
If anyone has any thoughts about that.
That would be great.
I feel like he's going to have to do a lot to get Van Alden on his side.
Yeah.
Or George to think his way. Like, I don't even know what he would have to do in order to get him to be his ally. But I mean, going back to the fact that George doesn't have any friends right now, like, how do you gain his friendship? You know, like, how do you make his friends? Like,
he doesn't want friends, though. He's not a friends guy. If, like I was saying earlier, like, if you gave him friends, he's no longer him. It's like he's this, like, weird guy that we never met. You know, it just changes his character too much.
You're so sweet. You're like, if we can just make, we'll introduce him to some people.
Out of the town. Bring him to a chess club. He loves to play. There'll be other kids there.
I just want everyone to be happy. I'm just trying to find the happiness in the show. They do need to bring it back in some form.
It was very compressed, but the director did a good job in making us feel that way.
Yeah.
If that was their goal, they succeeded.
Well done, job, Van Patten.
If you wanted to like slam down my hopes and dreams and leave me in a horrible mood, you did it.
Well done.
But
I will watch.
I will watch again next week, and that is a good thing. So we're gonna move on. We don't have any news and gossip this week, but we do want to give a little bit of a shout out to Mike August, who he obviously gives us our catches of the week every week. So just a few from last week's episode, All In. We know that they obviously have reoccurring images this week, birds, yada yada yada. But last week he recognized that we had reoccurring images of like. The show actually talks a lot about, like, meats, like ham, sandwiches, using people as meat, using everyone which are that way. So that was reoccurring again last week. Also, he notes that Mayor Lansky is known for being one of the greatest strategists in the history of the mafia. So that's something that we should know because he's kind of was known as, like, a muff baby for us.
Right.
But historically, he does have...
He's one of my favorite
characters. He should have been playing poker then.
Yeah, so I think we're going to see more of him power of
short can be sexy.
He's super sexy.
I would agree. And he seems like he's going to be smart. So hopefully that gets played into the next couple shows. Also, there was a lot of references to flowers last week. If you want to rewatch, look for those. Yeah. One thing he points out is he says, I liked Rothstein saying, you don't really know a man until you play cards with him, which is a very memorable line from last season. But then he says, because it was really him talking about himself, not him talking about Nucky. That's right. How it played out. Yeah. And it was, we see his weakness of being a gambler and taking risks, and that's going to lead to his demise. However, if this show does go to history, we've been predicting the end of Rothstein. And supposedly, he ends up, in real life, he lived until 1928.
He's killed, like, at a poker game or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, we've been thinking in our predictions that we're going to see an end to AR soon based on his ghostly white
skin,
makeup,
right,
and all these troubles he's going to be in. But if that sticks to history, he might be around a while.
Yeah.
But
I think that last episode,
if it is a TV show, you can...
We did last episode though see his first real weakness.
Finally.
Like he was
like an Iron Man before that.
Yeah, so maybe that could be leading to death.
It takes a while to spiral, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
If you're a wealthy
businessman, it should take you a while to spiral.
You have to run out of all your money right first. That's right. What you have to do. Get rid of the money and then you can talk. No, that sounds horrible. So let's move on to a little bit of predictions. There we go. Thank you.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Oh, there's life.
Maybe this is why I'm immune to like the Halloween decorations that are going on.
Because we hear the song all
like
year.
I'm so used to this that I'm like,
it's always Halloween.
I'm supposed to associate this.
This is my favorite song. Like that background music.
Exactly. Just haunted music. It's just getting typical for me. Anyway, so predictions. We got a little bit of flashes. I think I saw a glimpse of Margaret.
Yeah,
I'm happy about that.
I mean, maybe this will make Jillian stronger, and if it does, that makes me happy because I love Jillian as this like cat like calculating,
you like
strong,
Jillian,
powerful woman. So if that means Margaret has to come back, I'm okay with it.
The reason I am happy to see Margaret coming back is because
she might be coming back.
That was definitely her. I don't miss a Margaret face when I see a Margaret face. But she's always got somewhere as an end goal. And I don't think a lot of our characters right now have something that they're fighting toward. Exactly. Like, we have a general idea, but with Margaret, it always seems very cut and dry. You know, she's trying to achieve something for women, or she's trying to do this or trying to do that. And I think I need a little bit of that carved out path that I need to
have. Plus, then you can actually get successes.
Yeah, so that I can enjoy the rest of this general direction we're going with the rest of the characters. So I would like to see Margaret for that reason. And also, I'm curious what happened to her. I mean, she, you know, Owen was dead. She was gone. The end. So I would like to know what happened.
Yeah, I really miss Owen.
I miss Owen so bad.
Oh, that was a horrible death as well.
Yeah.
My question right now is, of course, where's Richard? What's Richard doing? Right. Where is Emma? Where are all these people? I didn't even get a glimpse of them in the flashes, I feel like.
Well, we saw a little of Richard in the preview with him admitting to killing all these men. And what's her name?
Emma.
Yes, no? Emma. Yeah. You know, admitting how he's killed so much.
That's
something
true.
She doesn't know about him.
What do you think?
I have one prediction for you. Who's going to be George's friend? Richard.
They would be cool.
Oh, they would be badasses.
They would be some interesting
friends. They could possibly be friends.
Yeah. Okay, and I think Nucky is just going to be totally heartbroken about Eddie. And I think, like Al Capone, he's going to seek vengeance.
Ah, that could definitely
happen. As he should.
So before we say goodbye, I do want to send you guys where you can find us. You can find me here, AfterBuzz, on Sundays. I think on Tuesdays I do also a movie podcast. Ooh. But you guys, where can they find you?
On Twitter at Bethany with an IE.
And you guys can check me out on my podcast. It's called Ask Women on podcastone.com or iTunes.
It's perfect. Podcast Central. All right, guys. See you later.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.